thank God for this text of the scripture. As we consider tonight's devotion, I am come to give thee understanding. God is going to reveal to Daniel the future for his people. And for Daniel, it was the burden in his heart to seek God for God's blessing upon his people. And so there are two thoughts that we want to think and consider from our text. Firstly, how Daniel prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Heart prepared, verses 1 to 19. Then the second thought, from verses 20 to 27, how he was a vessel ready to reveal or to be revealed the will of God. Most important, because we don't want to proceed in life without understanding what the will of God is. And truly, the Lord is good. He blesses his people with all heavenly blessings who sought and waited upon him. That was Daniel's lifestyle. He had a life of close communion with God, and he received the wisdom from God, not only for himself, but for the people around him. And so you see here in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's intercessory prayer, and how God answered it to the jot and tittle, so that he may know how to counsel and advise his people. The year is 538 BC, and it was springtime, and Daniel was burdened in his heart to know the will of God concerning the future of his people. It is the 69th year of the 70 years of captivity that the prophet Jeremiah has prophesied many years ago. And so the prophecy has taken place, and now we are moving towards the close of this prophecy, and there is no revelation from God beyond. So what is God's people to do? They could not be acting on their own impulse. They could not be acting on their own will. And so God raised Daniel, like Jeremiah many years ago, before the captivity, to be given God's revelation concerning the future. And look at how Daniel prepared his life to be such a blessing. We see three things in that preparation. From verses 1 to 3, you see the contrition of heart. Verses 4 to 14, you see confession. And finally, from verses 15 to 19, he expressed his concern for his people. And that is a pattern of intercessory prayer that we can learn how to intercede for the people around us. And you see how he began his prayer and how he was burdened because the capital of Israel is in desolation. So if they are going to go back to Israel, go back to what? The temple is no longer there. Worship is no longer there. There was no semblance of the temple anymore. It has been razed to the ground in 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the beloved first temple that was built by Solomon. And so, in the heart of Daniel, there was a great burden, and he sought the Lord by prayer and supplications. And our text also tells us how he fasted with sackcloth and ashes, so that God may be merciful to his people. What is fasting? Fasting is a laying aside of the common necessity and pleasure of life to have a concentrated effort and undivided attention given to prayer, worship, and the study of God's Word. And this usually applies in a time of great need, when the people of God are in distress and they need to know urgently what is the will of God. They knew that they cannot move forward. It's the 69th year. Time is ticking, and it's just about time for action, and yet there is no mandate. So if you are a man of God, you would experience that urgency in your heart. What to do, how to prepare. And so Daniel was burdened and he fasted. And you look at how Daniel fasted. The fasting was an act of self-humiliation before God, knowing that he could not understand what to do, and he knew that without God helping him, there would be no way forward. And so the situation is desperate. This situation is critical. The missionary Hudson Taylor, he was in the last century a missionary to China, and he observed this with regard to the Chinese church in the place called Shanxi. He says this: "In this place, I found Chinese Christians who were accustomed to spend time in prayer and fasting. They recognized this fasting, which so many dislike, which requires faith in God, since it makes one feel weak and poorly, and is really a divinely appointed means of grace. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. And in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are, dependent on a meal of meat for the little strength which we are apt to lean upon. Fasting reminds us that we are sustained by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth." And so this was what Daniel did. He prayed and he sought the Lord in earnestness. And look at what he did from verses 4 to 14. He surveyed the plight of his own people, and he acknowledged before God how they had sinned against him. Verse 4: "I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." So he knew how God is not only a God of love, but God is a judge. And he judges us after our actions. And how he evaluated the actions of his people and how they were found wanting, before God. And so he confessed his sin before God. We have sinned against, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which speak in thy name to our king, princes, fathers, and to all the people of the land. And so the disaster that came upon Israel, or the state of Judah, was not something that occurred suddenly, but it came over a long period of time, when first David's son Solomon sinned against God. You remember that account in 1 Kings 11, how Solomon loved many strange women, and how they turned away his heart after their gods, and how the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And the Lord warned him. And so the Lord finally pronounced this judgment. It says, notwithstanding in thy days I will not destroy the kingdom for David thy father's sake, but I will rent it out of the hand of thy son, that is Rehoboam. And how you see here in this chart, God sent a total of 20 prophets, writing prophets, oral prophets, to declare the Lord's judgment, to turn the people back. And how these words of God's anger fell on deaf ears, and how over a period of time these warnings came over and over and over again. And you see how Israel, the northern kingdom, was destroyed finally by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And how the southern kingdom of Judah was also finally destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And so Daniel knew how Israel had gone a-whoring. Out of all the northern kings, 20 of them, none of them were good kings. And out of the 20 southern kings, there were only 5 good kings. 3 of them considered unstable, and the rest of them, the rest of the 12, were bad kings who served not God. And so Daniel recounted how his people did stray away from their God. It was a sad state in Israel and Judah. For God to have to judge his people so severely is something that God has withheld his hand for so long. God had to send warning after warning. And so as Daniel think concerning the plight of his people, he realized that truly they are undone. God's people had no excuse. Verses 9 to 12. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. So you see how Daniel was pleading with God. God has been long-suffering towards his people until their iniquity were full. And Daniel saw how they were culpable, how they were guilty before God, and how he acknowledged before God that God is righteous. Verse 13. All this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. that was how hard the situation was. The people's hearts were hardened. And so Daniel rehearsed what happened and how God chastised them, and how God did also mention that at the end of the chastisement, He would bring them back to the land. Verse 15. Now Daniel would give his concern. Daniel acknowledged before God that Israel were once slaves in Egypt. So he traced back Israel's history as he thinks about the gracious hand of God in Israel's life. How God is so good, and how His people just failed and neglected to love Him with all their heart, mind, soul and strength, and how they have gone whoring after other gods. It's so sad, isn't it, that we see the people of God who were once fervent for the things of God, and now they have turned cold. They no longer want to be involved in the things of God. It is a sad plight, it's a sad situation. And so Daniel pleaded for God. And look at how Daniel pleaded in verse 17 and 19. He pleaded for the mercy of God, the great mercy of God. The mercy of God is the love of God that is undeserved. We deserve punishment from God, but we realize that we could not plead anything else but for Him to forgive us. And so that is what Daniel did for the people. For your own name's sake, forgive us. He acknowledged they were undeserving, but he also bring before God that they are His people. We belong to You. We have nowhere else to go. We have acknowledged that we are undone. Except You receive us, what will we do? We are in this state of stagnation. In Malay we say hentak kaki, don't know word, cannot move forward. They have moved that far with God, and they knew that they were wrong, and they could not go. Otherwise, they could not move. They could not continue to reject God. And so God had to forgive them. And this was what Daniel did, pleading for the mercy of God. And Daniel, in contrition, in confession, bring before God his supplication. What did he want to know? He wanted to find out the future of his people. Is God going to continue to chastise them? Or what will happen to his people after that? And so you see from verses 20 to 27, how God is going to reveal to him the entire future for his people. And if you were to look at our chart that is given here, this was the prophecy that was revealed, the future for Israel. And if you look at the chart here, you'll be able to see how Daniel was given the vision of the 70 weeks. What is this 70 weeks? This 70 weeks refer to 70 prophetic years. And the word seven is a word of, is a multiple, as it is used in the English for a dozen. A dozen is 12. So seven is consists of a unit of seven. Right? also there are 70 units of seven that is being prophesied here. A period of time, 490 prophetic years concerning Israel's future. And God is going to give to them in no uncertain terms what Israel's history will be. And so you see here, the Lord told them how there would first be a decree that is being given to begin the rebuilding of the second temple. You remember the first temple was destroyed, and so this was the year 445 BC. And the decree was given by Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem. And how this rebuilding project of the second temple was completed in 49 years, the first period of 7 years. And then what happened? I shall read to you the text that is given here. Right. Know therefore, at the end of verse 23. So consider now to understand the matter, consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And so he's going to tell us the future of Israel by 70 prophetic years. 70 weeks. And this will be concerning Israel after their return from Babylon, and it will concern Jerusalem. And it says here, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness. What is this? Well, this refers to the crucifixion of Christ, the coming of Christ, and how he would be the one who would make an end of sins. Right? He is the prophesied Messiah who would come in order to take away the sins of the world. So it is a pivotal point of human history. Right? And the date is given there, and you'll see how all this is fulfilled precisely. And you see here in verse 24 how there would be an end of sins. And verse 25 you continue, knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, right, there will be a commandment, there will be a decree that is to be given, right, by the Persian king in order to begin the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple, okay, and to upon the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 72 weeks, the street shall be built again, the war and even the troublous times. So what he's trying to say here is that the temple will be built, and how there would be a period of prosperity when the temple was built. So it was a time when Israel, after the captivity, would return, the time of Ezra, the time of Nehemiah, how they would return, how they would take the time to build the temple. And from that time, right, to the time of Christ, you will see how that history propagated. Okay? And after verse 26 says, 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So when after the second temple is completed, right, 434 years later, 7 times 62 weeks, right? 7 years of 62 weeks, right? Makes 434 years. And so
For that period of 483 years, that makes up the 69 weeks, right, of Daniel's prophecy. So if you look at this chart, you'll be able to see how we have been speaking about the 69 weeks, right? And the 69th week is the point whereby Christ was cut off. You see the picture? Christ was cut off at the 69th week, 449, last 434, which is equal to 483. So it is 483 years, right? Describe the 69 weeks, okay? And then what happened, if you look at our history, man's history today, since the cutting off the Messiah, right? We see how time seemed to have freezed for that last week. Why is it that there is a gap, seem to be a gap there? Right, I put here this gap, the church age. Why is it that there is a gap here? Well, if you were to look at Israel's history, you'll be able to see how Israel, after 434 years, when they crucified their Messiah, how God would judge them. How Israel will be judged by God. And how Israel, after the judgment of God in AD 70, right, Israel will this time be totally deported from the land for the next 2,000 years. So Israel is no longer, as it were, in the world map. So you're asking yourself, why is it that there is that period of time, right, all the way up to the 483 years, then there is a gap during the church age? Why is there such a gap here? Well, it is because Israel is no longer in existence in the land. Right? We know from hindsight that Israel came back only after 2,000 years, 14th of May, 1948. All right. So here we are speaking about a great time span that Daniel is given this prophecy. And so there is a gap in between which we are living in which we would be seeing before Israel would finally be ruling in the land again as a head nation. Right? The Antichrist, here you would see how up to this point in time, the 69th week, Daniel would be given the picture without this gap concerning the rise of the Antichrist in the last 7 years in the Great Tribulation, how he would make desolation, right, in the temple of God, right, in the last 7 years. And so this is the Great Tribulation. And so here Israel will once again be in the land, and once again they will be on the map, the world map, as a lead nation. But today you see that evolving. And so, as you look at the whole picture, you see that we are in that outworking of that church age. And we all know, right, that Christ would come again to receive his church in the rapture before the beginning of the Great Tribulation, before the last 7 years, where Israel would be in the land again and ruling, and how the Antichrist would make peace with Israel for the first 3.5 years, a temporal peace, and how he would break that peace in the middle of it, right? And he shall confirm the covenant, and 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and end thereof shall be with a flood, and until the end of the war, desolations are determined. So there's going to be a time where whatever that was built will be destroyed, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for
So after the 62 weeks, after the cutting off, you'll find that Israel again will be judged by God, and how that second temple will be destroyed in AD 70. Right? And that after that destruction, right, Daniel is given the prophoscope, right, across the church age, right to the end, right, the beginning of the Great Tribulation, after the rapture of the church. That's verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the appellation to cease. So who is this? We are speaking about how the Antichrist is going to arise, and how the Antichrist is going to break that peace treaty, right? With the cutting of the Messiah, the prophetic clock seems to have stopped ticking. And in Daniel's prophetscope, what is in the distant future is brought to focus the last of the 70th week, with reference to that prince earlier mentioned. He would be the Antichrist, the last dictator, the last world dictator. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And so this, we believe, right, in the BB Church, that it is a covenant with the Jews, that, and with a view that it is with also the Gentile powers also, to as many as would come in the orbit of the Antichrist. And so this covenant would bring the Arab and the Jews together. There would be a time of peace. And it is interesting to note that God gave to Daniel something that is so relevant to us today. We see the approaching formation of the Antichrist kingdom, how the world is moving towards a one world system, a one world economic system, a one world religious system, a one world political system. Oh, the writing is on the wall. We are near to the Lord's return. And so, as we think about what Daniel received, you see that he received these prophecies as a result of his earnestness in wanting to seek to walk in the will of God, that caused him to search the will of God through prayer. Today we have the completed canon of Scripture. We know the future. God has revealed it to us. It is up to us to study and know and understand what the will of God is, and to seek it and to walk in it. This special wisdom was given to Daniel. We, in our time, is given this wisdom. Right? Our time is a time of Lot. Our time is a time of Noah, Christ tells us. And the coming of Christ would be sudden. It would be the last prophecy that is yet unfulfilled. And God wants his people to be prepared. He wants his people to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven, and not be disappointed when they lay up for themselves earthly treasure, where the moth and the rust would corrupt. Well, God wants us to evaluate. And if you look at the world around us, the people around us, they are running after the world. Few would want to seek God to pray. And therefore, the people of God who know the will of God must be burdened for the people of God. Why are they not here? Why are they out there in the world? They are perishing. And so may the Lord lay this burden upon our hearts, that indeed we, God's people, may be intercessors for our people. And Daniel gave us the example how he sought God with contrition of heart with confession of sin and how God blessed him with skill and understanding pertaining to the future of his people. So we are blessed because God has given us his word, the whole counsel of God in the completed canon of scripture. If we would only spend time to seek his word, we would know his will and we would be able to live in the light of his blessing. God has given to us the privilege of intercessory prayer and God's word to help the people around us. May we be willing to take the trouble to pray for the people around us. And you see, our prayer list is not getting shorter but longer. We see how we have many needs and we pray that God would be merciful to help his people in this time of need. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy word. May thou be merciful to give to us thy wisdom, to understand thy word, that we indeed may live our lives according to thy will, to receive thy blessing to the honor and glory of thy name. Help us, Lord, for we can do no other. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.